during summer, skateboarding enthusiasts are glad that they can play outside. Do you like skateboarding? Skateboarding is not very simple, but you may want to try if you are physically able. Of course, older people in their advanced age have brittle bones, and it's not advisable for seniors to explore skateboarding. You may have already watched videos of dogs skateboarding. Have you watched those videos before? Isn't that amazing? Their trainers should have been very patient teaching their dogs to balance themselves on the skateboards without help. Well, such reality inspires possibilities that if you are healthy, you can eventually learn to skateboard with much enthusiasm. I tried once, I fall, I didn't trip it. I didn't like. Didn't like to be hurt. I hope Kuya Hoka would not be thinking about skateboarding next. Well, if you are healthy, you can eventually learn skateboarding with much enthusiasm. You like it? Similarly, when the Holy Spirit inspires us, we can learn to practice faith in God enthusiastically. Practice faith in God should be enjoyable with gladness, with cheerfulness. King David invites anyone to learn that it is blessing to take refuge in the good Lord. Personally, he testified in Psalm 34, verse 8 to 11. Let's read together. Taste and see that the good is Lord, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Have you already experienced that you lack no good things when you take refuge in the Lord? Or do you still sense that you still have many things you want that you do not have yet? Through faith in the Lord, King David, he overcame difficult challenges in life. Before he rose to prominence as the greatest king of Israel, he was a lowly shepherd. At the time, in their time, being a shepherd is like the lowest paying job that you can find, because that's what they see at a shepherd. If they know that you are a shepherd, they would look down on you. Even his older brothers, they look down on him. But after he defeated the giant Goliath, his brothers were soldiers. That's why soldiers, they were paid better at that time. So, and they wear beautiful uniform, and they look so handsome, and they are so proud that they are soldiers. And they look down at the shepherd David. But after David defeated the giant Goliath, his brothers, who were so proud, were relegated to oblivion, to obscurity. When King Saul tried to kill David, David went and hid in the Philistine territories. He hid there. But when they recognized him as David who killed Goliath, he pretended to be lunatic. and pretended to be insane just to survive. King David was not exempted also from parental problem. Parents have many problems. And King David, even if he was the greatest king of Israel, he had a lot of problems with his children. His children were problematic. You can read through the Bible how problematic his children were. It's a sad reality. But even the man who was called man after God's own heart, even the man who do whatever God wanted him to do, he had problem with his children. Even his advisors connived with his son and tried to kill him. Even his wife laughed at him when he danced to worship God. David danced and he worshiped God, and his wife despised him. Yet, despite those challenges in life, David found refuge in the Lord. By faith in God, he overcame all undesirable challenges of his life. He didn't give up. He became the greatest king of Israel. Together, let's reflect on the prayer of King David in Psalm 106, verse 47. Save us, Lord our God. Gather us from the nations. And we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Now, there's praise and thankfulness when we receive the answers to our prayers. You know that you admitted or accepted that the Lord answered your prayers when you sense that gladness, praising it. Lord, thank you. God is faithful. He is faithful to the faithful. If we are faithful to God, God is faithful. But it takes time to become faithful. It's not overnight. We cannot be faithful when we say, I love the Lord. We sing, I love the Lord. We praise the Lord. We accepted the Lord as Lord and Savior. We cannot be faithful immediately. It takes time to learn how to be faithful. By God's grace, we learn to be faithful. If you sense like you are not faithful to the Lord, keep on asking, Lord, help me to be faithful to you. And as we mature spiritually, we confidently seek God's guidance by faith all the more. The more we come to know God, the more we know that God is answering our prayers, the more we want to be with the Lord, the more we want to ask the Lord, whatever, however small, however difficult, or simple the problem would be, we want the Lord to lead the way. God is love, and He readily helps when we seek His mercy and forgiveness. When we are not faithful, we ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me, I am not that faithful. Apostle Paul testified that God was patiently merciful to him. That mercy of God and patience of God over Paul resulted to Paul transform from worst sinner to faithful missionary. Together, let's learn from the testimony of Apostle Paul that he wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Let's read together. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who believe in him and receive eternal life. Have you observed that? Can you go back to verse 15? Apostle Paul said, I am the worst sinner. In verse 16 says, he also said, next scroll, please. The worst sinner. Why did Apostle Paul testify that he was the worst sinner. He even gave that emphasis. He repeated it, that he was the worst sinner. Apostle Paul persecuted the church. He threw in prison disciples in his time. And he may have regretted that he did that. He persecuted the church before he became Christian, before he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. Apostle Paul was not just very sorry of his sin. He was sorry, but it didn't stop there, being sorry for his sin. He regretted it, and it did not stop there. His behavior, his priorities were changed, and faithfully, he preached the gospel of Christ like no other, as his practical proof that he repented of his sin. What sin have you asked the Lord for forgiveness? And what transformation? Would you show that you just sincerely repented of your sin? The Holy Spirit Himself compels us to repent of our sins. When we admit that we are sinful, when we admit that we are doing wrong, when we admit that we committed mistakes, it's the Holy Spirit of God who moved in our hearts so that we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Not just saying, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. No, accept Jesus as Lord, as Master, the author of our life, the authority in everything we do, our Savior. Save us from sin. He transforms us. He transforms and changes our behavior. Life transformation practically proves that we sincerely repented of our sin. Sincerity of repentance is practically proven by behavioral transformation. Now, if you've been a very angry person before, and you ask the Lord, Lord, I'm so angry, I don't know, but I'm just easily angered by anything. Forgive me. And then you observe yourself. Slowly but surely, that anger changes into being more understandable, understanding. It's not just about sentimental regret to repent. The behavior should be transformed. Reflect on this. What behavior has been changed since you repented of your sins? Think of yourself. Look at yourself. Judge it for yourself. Reflect on your lifestyle. What has changed in me? You look back to your old you and your present life now. What is it that has been changed? Let's read again verse 13 of our passage. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Someone said, don't judge if you are not a judge. How could one judge? How do judges judge? Judges, they study, they deliberate, they consider, they reflect on the matter to come up with legal judgment. For legal decisions, judges should not depend on human instinct. I think this is, should I do this? No, they should study first everything. And we are advised to judge, meaning we need to study, we need to deliberate in our hearts. And consider and reflect. We are commanded to judge if, or we are advised to judge. Judge for yourself. If it is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? To judge if this tradition should be practiced in our church, we reflect and seek God's guidance. God, the ultimate judge. We don't just, oh, it is in the Bible, we should do it. We reflect on it. Again, the term woman is properly interpreted as wife. But why is it that they use the word woman? Why not wife? If it is practically or properly interpreted as wife, why woman? Woman includes unmarried women who may possibly wish to get married. So this is advice for any woman who are planning to be married, or women who are married. So even unmarried woman is included here. So this passage then is not only relegated to the wives, even for young people. If you are thinking in the future you are going to be married, listen carefully now and pray now. It's good. Why? Because you can start praying now. Women are advised that Christian wives should respect their husbands as practice of faith in Christ. This is why it's used woman. So now even young people, if you are thinking, one day I will be married, maybe when I in my 30s, my 20s, in my 40s, my 50s, my 60s, I don't know when you want to get married. I know of somebody who married at the age of almost 50, and they are still married when they're in their 60s, I heard one. So it's not about age, but maybe one day. So this is for women. The tradition of covered head when praying, this practically exhibits that wife respect her husband in the context of the Corinthians. But for us, when a wife respects her husband, she practices faith in God, because the scripture teaches women submit to their husband, meaning women respect your husband. When wife respect her husband, she practices faith in the Lord, and truly she also trusts that it is marital harmony secret designed by the Lord. Many husband and wife are complaining about no harmony in their marriage, but the Bible has already given the secret how you have harmony. That is, wives, submit to husband. Husband, love your wife. Be considerate to your wife. That is the secret. But they don't like that secret. Why? Because it's godly. Godly commands needs godly effort. We need the help of God to be able to submit. Women, you cannot submit on your own. Ask the Lord, Lord, I want to resist my husband, but your command says I need to submit to my husband, so help me submit. Women, do you cover your head when praying as respect for husband? Reflect on that. Judge this for yourself. If it is proper for wife to respect her husband, reflect on that. Well, respect of husband is Christian identity. Christian identity of whom? Whose Christian identity? Christian wives. You call yourself Christian in your wife. You call yourself Christian in the future, you want to be a wife. Your Christian identity is respect husband. Seriously pray for inspiration if you still doubt of your Christian identity. It's not easy. It's tough for human limited effort. This is why we need godly effort, the help of the Lord. This is when we ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, your command is for me to submit to my husband. Be the Lord of my heart, my life, my mind, my behavior. that I may be able to submit. Ask the Lord. Keep on until you sense gladness. Don't just submit for the sake of submitting. Don't just respect for the sake of respecting. You should sense that gladness that you really want. Husbands sense if you are really forcing the issue. They know that you're just submitting because you do not want to listen to, you do not want to hear Pastor Argento's preach on submitting. Let's reflect again on 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. We read this last time, but it is an emphasis. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right. Do not give way to fear. Last Sunday, we asked if ever wives had addressed their husband as Lord. Did you see someone who raised their hand? It's hard. Wives, were you terrified that you should address your husband as Lord? Were you terrified? Maybe. Why? You do not like to use that word Lord, because Lord means God. No, the term Lord with capital L or uppercase L pertains to the God of Scripture. Well, the English word Lord can mean master, ruler, king. And in some cultures, they commonly use the term Lord to address their rulers, nobles, or aristocrats. Someone who has authority or power, they call them Lord. And we call Jesus Christ as Lord, capital L, because he is God, Son of God. He is our ruler. He is our master. He is our king. He is the King of Kings. But reflect on that. When we address Jesus Christ as Lord, do you sense yourself? Do you relegate yourselves as his servants? When we call someone Lord, we are not, that person is higher in authority than us. It's not because we just want to say like, sir, or engineer, or doctor, kind of like. No, there should be respect added there. Personally, reflect on that. How serious have you been as servant of Christ? Do you serve Christ always? Or do you serve Christ only when you need something? If Christ lives in us all the time, Christ should be Lord of our lives all the time, for all eternity. In the scripture, Sarah addressed her husband, Abraham, as her Lord. Why? She trusted that respect of husband is godly design for harmony in their marital relationship. She trusted that. That is God's design for harmony. She trusted God with that. Sarah respected her husband and addressed him as Lord, because she knows it's God's secret, open secret, for husband and wife to have harmony. Judge for yourself. Reflect on this. Is it faith, practice of faith in God, when wives address their husbands as Lord? Wives, do you respect your husband as practice of your faith in the Lord? Don't respect your husband because he has higher salary than you. That's not the reason. Don't respect your husband because he is bigger, stronger than you. That's not the reason. Don't respect your husband because he is handsome man, handsomest of them all. That is not the reason. The reason is you respect your husband as practice of faith in the Lord. Because you trust that when you respect your husband, you are doing what the Lord wants for your marital relationship would be harmonious. Like Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord, you are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Wives, are you terrified that husbands abuse their authority when you call them Lord or Master or respect them? By faith in God, Sarah did not give way to fear. She trusted that Abraham won't abuse his authority. That is also practice of faith in God, that God give you your husband, and your husband would not abuse his authority, even if you respect your husband. So prayerfully ask God for wisdom and judge for yourselves. Don't force the issue. It's not because I respect you, because pastor always preaches on this. I am tired listening to it. I should respect you, my husband. No, don't force it. Instead, pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me hear you when you speak. Help me respect my husband as a practice of faith in you. Unmarried women, women who would be hoping to be married, even if you are still young, if you hope to be married later, pray now that when that day comes, you gladly respect your husband without forcing the issue. You can ask your parents. You can ask your mother. Young girls, you can ask them, is it easy, mother, for you to respect my father, your husband? And they will tell you, it's not easy. So now, even now that you are still single, pray, Lord, prepare my heart and mind that when you give me the husband you want me to marry, I would gladly respect as my practice of faith. Here's another issue. After this, you can listen carefully, wives. After this, you can pout on me. You can choose if you smile or not. If you meet me, that's up to you. But I pray that God would give me this courage to tell you this. Wives, do you require your husband? You earn your respect first before I respect you. Do you require your husband? You husband, you need to earn your respect before I respect you. Do you require your husband to earn respect? Is it biblical to first earn respect, your respect? Just as many people would do, say, you should earn your respect. Boss, is it biblical? Does God require us to earn respect first before we are respected? Is it godly command for wives to ask husband to earn respect? The godly command is, wives, submit to your husbands. That's a godly command. But to obey godly command requires trust in God. Trust that this plan of God, this design of God, is for your benefit. If you cannot see it as beneficial to you or favorable to you, that is tough. So pray for inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Human instinct resists godly command. So if you are resisting, that human nature is the one forcing you to resist the command of God. The Lord won't require husband to earn respect first before wives submit, right? Have you read that in the scripture? I read through the scripture several times, but I haven't read that as requirement. If you read one, if my Bible does not have it, then tell me where it was written. Does it violate the command for wife to submit to her husband if she requires him to earn respect first before she can submit? Does it violate the command? Is it sin against God for wives to require husband to earn respect first? If it is not biblical, then it is arguable. Wife, submit to your husband. That is godly command for Christian wives to practice their faith in God. In godly commands, it includes blessings. God commands for us to have blessing. This command includes blessing for wives. If you can see that, if you can discern that, it is the Holy Spirit who enables you to discern it, that when you submit to your husband, you are even blessed because you are practicing your faith in the Lord. Likewise, it is also godly command for husbands, to be considerate. Husbands, respect your wives. Respect each other. This is godly design. This is godly open secret for marital harmony. Wives, submit to husbands without any string attached, they say, because it's your practice of faith. Husbands, let's read this together. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them as with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayer. Imagine yourself, husbands. Just imagine. Your wife is the daughter of the King of Kings. Who is she? Princess. Husband, your wife is the daughter of the Lord of Lords. Who is she? Duchess. I don't know what you call that. She is of royalty. Royal daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is what this passage says. Heirs with you in the gracious gift of life. If you are son of God, she is daughter of God. Husbands, to be considerate is unconditional. There's no condition attached. No requirement to earn respect first. You earn the respect first. Why? Before I will be considerate to you, you need to show that you love, you submit to me before I be. No string attached. To respect each other with no reservation, it exhibits faith in God. It exhibits faith in God. That is practice of faith in God. Look at that, the last part. So that nothing will hinder your prayer. See? Husbands, have you been praying for something and the Lord is not answering your prayer? Look at how you treat your wife first. Are you considerate to your wife? Does it hinder prayer if respect is conditional and reserved? By faith in Christ, we become children of God. We are co-heirs of the gracious gift of life. Every one of us, we are the same in the eyes of the Lord. We cannot be more authority over the other. But of course, there are responsibilities that we function. So nothing will hinder your prayers, husbands. Listen, as practice of faith, be considerate in respect our wives unconditionally. Amen. Say amen, women. You like that, I pray. Verse 14 and 15, let's read. Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it is disgrace to him? But if a man has long hair, it is her glory. For long hair is given to her as covering. Now, long hair, this is glorious beauty covering to a woman, but it is disgrace to man, according to Apostle Paul. You may not agree with him, but it is what it is. Why did Apostle Paul preach that if men have long hair, it is disgraceful? Well, I cut my hair so that it's not long. It is possible that men in the Corinthian church have not yet changed their worldly practices and behavior. And Paul passed on to them as Christian tradition and practices that serve as their Christian identity to set them apart from other religions. Other religions allow men to have long hair, or maybe even required men to have long hair. But for Christian identity in the Church of Corinth, Apostle Paul gave this is your Christian tradition, so that it will set you apart, so that when they see you, they will know that you are Christian and you are a member of the Church of Corinth. Well, Christian pastors, seminary professors, church leaders, they follow biblical tradition, but some Christian pastors, seminary professors, church leaders, some practice cultures of their contacts to be acceptable in the society of their contacts. If their contacts have long hair, they would wear long hair, just like their contacts. If their contacts have no hair, they would shave their hair to identify with those who without hair. If I say I am a barber, that I know how to cut hair, how would I prove I cut my hair? Do you believe that? Do you believe that I cut my own hair? That's up to you. You can ask Louis if you want. Or, for example, if their contacts wear a leather jacket, they would also wear a leather jacket. Now, if your contact is a farmer, you go to the farm, would you wear your coat and tie and your sunglasses and your best outfit, shiny shoes, and go to the farmer farming? Hey, I want you to listen to the gospel. Well, will they listen to the gospel? I don't know. If your contact are basketball players, even if you don't know how to play basketball, you try to attend and watch basketball. That is how you can identify with your contacts. That is why many pastors will just do whatever it takes. Just as they interpreted what Apostle Paul testified in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. Let's read. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. What did Apostle Paul imply? How did Apostle Paul become weak to win the weak? Did he let her hair grow long just to win those who have long hairs? Or did he disrespect others so that he can win wives who cannot respect their husbands? To be weak is to be sympathetic, to be considerate to those who are still weak in their faith in Christ, as compared to being indifferent and no concern at all. Not to be very strong, like to be tough Like for example, you, if there are Christians who cannot prioritize the Lord yet, you just don't go there. That is not how to be Christian. That is being very strong. Instead, pray for them, be sympathetic to them. They are still growing in their faith. It's like kind of elementary student, and you want to present to that elementary student doctoral degrees, doctoral level or university courses to that elementary student. They won't understand that. Now there's this comic strip. There was a husband was busy reading the newspaper, so engrossed, because maybe I don't know. And then the wife came. She want to be romantic and said, "Hi, what do you want for dinner?" The wife asked without glancing, just reading a newspaper without glancing at his wife. The husband said, "Whatever." The wife did not like it. So, but she tried to be calm and suggested, "How about fried eggshell and grilled banana peelings?" And without minding what his wife suggested, the husband still seriously focused, reading the newspaper, and said, "Nice, nice, that's great, that's great." Now the wife was upset that her husband did not even mind what she just said. She turned and said, "Okay, I fry eggshell and grill banana peelings for you then." And the husband still did not mind her, but tried to be excited and said, "Oh, that's great, thank you very much." Wives, how do you normally react when you try to be romantic, preparing food for your husband, but you are just busy doing what they are doing? Did you ever say, "Bahala ka sa buhay mo"? What does that mean? This is how we say it in our language, Nicole. It's your life, handle it. Handle your life. Take care of your life. It's up to you what you want to do with your life, something like that. Have you said that before, wives? The ordinary response when people ignore us is what? Ignore them. That's the ordinary response. It's human instinct. It's human nature. It's human instinct even to criticize those who prioritize materialism. That's human instinct. Oh, there are not a lot of people today. This is how to criticize. Why? Because they went some gallivanting somewhere else. But we prioritize the Lord. Now we should be sympathetic to them. We should be praying for them. Lord, keep them safe, those who went gallivanting. Enjoy their travel, and that they may praise you wherever they are. That should be our attitude to those who are absent during Sundays. We don't know what's happening in their lives. Maybe they went somewhere else to forget their problems. Maybe they have difficult problems. That's why. They just want to forget it. And they are still growing their faith. Christians are not exempted. Everyone is warned and sick in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Let's read. "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." Can you repeat that? "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." As practice of faith, we have to seek inspiration of the Holy Spirit always. Inside the church building or outside, what can we do? We continually pray for a stronger faith. Keep on. "Lord, strengthen my faith. Give me godly wisdom. That should be our prayer always. If there's any other thing, then add it. But pray for stronger faith. Keep on praying. Every day if you remember, Lord, strengthen my faith. Give me godly wisdom. We are commanded, husband and wife, to respect each other. So we need inspiration of the Holy Spirit to resolve, to be determined, to respect each other. Amen? Resolve in your heart. I want to respect my wife. I want to respect my husband. But Lord, enable me. Resolve that in your heart. Be determined. Let's read verse 16 of our passage. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice nor do the churches of God. If you argue with what Apostle Paul was saying, Apostle Paul offered no option. We have to resolve. We have to be determined to respect each other because it's not only because it's godly command, it's because angels are watching us. The angels are watching us. God sends His angels to help us deliver His blessing to us. Even before we prayed, God had already sent His angels to deliver, to release the blessing He had for us. God had already answered the prayers, our prayers. But angels, they are watching us. Why? Angels of God release blessings of God at the right moment. Not late, not early, not on random, but at the right time. What is the right time? When we are prepared, heart is prepared to accept it and recognize that is from God. How do you interpret what? When Christ teaches us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 15. Let's read together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others' sin, their sin, your Father will not forgive you. Forgive your sins. Meditate upon that. We believe when it is hallowed be thy name, the name of God is holy, sacred, consecrated. We believe that. How should we interpret when it says, your kingdom come? Can you go back to verse 10? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Kingdom, when the kingdom of God comes, God reigns in our hearts. When we ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, you will be the Lord and Savior, of my life. You are the Lord and Savior of my life. That is the beginning, kingdom of God, the authority of God reigns in our hearts. But it's only the beginning, the start. It happens that that Christ reigns in our hearts when we are actualized, when we actualize obeying His commands. We trust by faith that the righteousness of God is the best for us, that God reigning, controlling our life, our mindset, our behavior is best for us, our attitude, our lifestyle. If we allow Him to change then those things, we trust God also that He provides for our daily needs. Can you go to 11? Give us this day our daily bread. Why not pray? The Lord Jesus, listen carefully. He said, daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. He did not say, give us today our food tomorrow. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were commanded to collect manna just for the day. Don't collect it for tomorrow because it will be spoiled. That is practical illustration of this. God wants us to not to worry about tomorrow, but to worry about what is today, what we need today. Someone said, worry is meditation on the wrong direction. You know how to worry? You know how to meditate. When you worry, what do you think? You always think of that problem. You always think, what happens to you when that problem happens? For example, you worry about you would be laid off from your job. What if I don't have a job? My children will be hungry. What about our future? That is how to meditate in worry. How about changing that? Filling your mind, meditate and memorize the command of God. Like, for example, meditate on the book of Psalms. Like for what King David said, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who take refuge in him. Think about that. How can I take refuge in the Lord? Problem. I will bring that problem to the Lord. Lord, what will you do with this? And then meditate. How would the Lord will think what the Lord would do? And then you sense if there's still fear or there's still worry. Lord, this worry is still trying to control me. And they'll ask the Lord, pray about it. That is turning from worry to the right direction to the Lord. So if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate, but meditate on the goodness of the Lord. Don't be bothered by that worry. What happened tomorrow? What happened if you are laid off? Instead, when you think what happened when you are laid off, that is a reality you need to pray about, that God would give you a solution to it. Instead of worrying of negative things, meditate on the word of the Lord. Memorize it. Memorize on the word of the Lord, the promises of the Lord. In the books, it says, the Lord Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, life to the fullness, to its fullness. Meditate on that. Lord, what is this fullness of life? What is it, fullness of life? You didn't imagine what is fullness of life to you. Is this possible to me, Lord? Christ Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. And you are worried, you are restless, you cannot sleep. But the Lord Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Lord, I want to have rest in you. What does that mean? Learn from me. The Lord Jesus added that. Come to me, I will give you rest, but learn from me. Learn from the instruction of the Lord. Meaning follow his commandments. What is it that you are worrying about your work? Why are you worried to be laid off? The command is work as if you are working for the Lord. Did you do that part? Did you go to the work, to your work punctually? Those things, you meditate upon it and ask the Lord for forgiveness if you did something not commanded by the Lord. Why? Angels, God's angel, release blessing to obedient Christians. He does not release, all right, these blessings, catch it if you can. That is not how blessing of God comes. God does not waste his blessing. He wants his blessing to be given to the right person. He just don't throw it on random. When we ask forgiveness from God, we acknowledge that we are not exempted from sinning. We acknowledge that we can be sinful anytime. And for us to know that God has forgiven us, how? we have forgiven others. Forgiving others is tough, but that is how we know that we are forgiven. So ask the Lord, Lord, overflow your forgiveness to me so that your forgiveness is the same forgiveness that I would use to forgive others. That forgiveness did not come from you, it comes from God so that you can forgive others. It's like, fill my cup with water. In this water, this is what I give to others, kind like. Don't just drink it your own as yours. Share it so that you will know that you are. The more you release that forgiveness, the more there is a space for forgiveness. But if you save that forgiveness in your cup, your forgiveness of God will not be added. No more. Because there's no more space. So share your forgiveness to others. For us to know that God has forgiven us, we are able to forgive others. Yet most often, when we are offended, our tendency is what? Retaliate, right? We want to retaliate. We are commanded to forgive. But are we commanded to forgive and forget? Forgive and forget. You heard that before. Where we are not forced to forget terrible experiences in the past. The Lord did not say, forget it. Forget what happened to you. I don't know if I read that in the Bible, but I did not. But to forget is a blessing. If you forget what happened in the past, I know, if I recall, there are many people who are not very good to me. But if I remember them, I can smile, because I cannot even remember how that happened. Judge it for yourself and reflect on this. Do you want to smile? Do you want to have peace? Do you want to have a cheerful heart? The more you smile, the more you look younger, they say. The more you prevent aging, they say. You want that. You want to smile, have peace, cheerful heart, rather than bad feeling again and again whenever you meet that person who offended you before, who made your life terrible in the past. If you meet them at the grocery store, if they are living in Winnipeg, or in the park when you want to rejoice. You go to the park, you want to enjoy yourself, and yet you meet that person who made your life terrible. What made your day? Was it peaceful? You're glad? You can enjoy still? Or you feel bad again and again? Have you pondered upon why God allows seniors to get dementia? Why is it that seniors get dementia? Or loss of memory. It is tough for caretakers. But did you know that dementia favors senior citizens? Senior citizens with dementia forget the painful experiences in the past so that they live peacefully in the last days of their lives. I suppose that is God's grace for them, that they will leave this earth without any pain. They still feel the physical pain, but not the heartaches of heart and mind, because they forget the past. Reflect what it declares in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The element will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. This world, this earth will be destroyed by fire. And NASA or scientists are telling that the sun is bursting somewhere else, and they are scared that it would explode or something. I don't know what would happen. And they are thinking that there will be, what is that, those falling down fires, whatever, I don't know. But it could be possible that this is the explanation of this. We live long or not, we pray in hope that Christ returns in our lifetime. Keep praying for that. Would like to meet the Lord in the air, or you would like to die? We should always be mindful. We should be mindful and prepare for our eternal residency. We'll pray for stronger faith, pray for wisdom, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and resolve to respect each other so that our gracious and loving God answers our prayers. Amen. God had already sent his angels to deliver his blessings to obedient Christians. Let's pray.